Blog Talk Radio.
You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind.
To find, take back, and keep your righteous mind. What's up, Sauce Garvey? It's your boy, Black Socrates. We are live and direct with Trill Spill Radio. We had a quick delay. They noticed Truth is about to drop, man, and they wouldn't even let me put in my PIN number to start on time. So that 2-minute delay ain't gonna stop us, though. I literally had to call back into my own show to be able to get back in because it wouldn't recognize my PIN number. So I'm just letting people know off top where the 2-minute delay starts. But I'm glad to be with none other than Supreme Rock, a.k.a. Sauce Garvey, for Trill Spill. Glad to be a part of your show, King. Thanks a lot for being with us again. Just kind of letting people know why the delay existed. But the floor is yours, man.
Let's jump right into this thing, man. Man, you know, we might as well get used to that, man. You know, I'm on their radar. You feel me?
Yeah, they after us, man, because I fucking with you. 4 years of producing. That's not an issue I've ever had in 4 years of producing, man. And so the public has been looking for you. They say, hey, man, when we going to get that Trill Spill? And so I'm glad to offer the opportunity.
They just letting us know.
You know,
they letting us know they listen.
Yeah, on the Mental Dialogue platform, man. Glad to offer the opportunity to get that Trill, man. Like I say, our sauce drips truth. And we ain't going to take long to get into it. Again, sorry for the delay for anybody out there listening. But yes, man.
Man, black power, everybody out there listening.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Black power, everybody out there listening, man. I'm just happy to be there, be with my brother, Black Socrates, my boy Montoya Smith with Mental Dialogue Radio, man. First episode, Trill Spill. So yeah, man, let's get into it, man. Let's rock.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're gonna do this too, man. We're gonna make sure people know we're gonna be the kind of show that if you got 3 cents, you want to get your opinion into this thing, we literally will let you get in. So the number to get in for anybody out there listening, we're going to let people know, and then we're going to jump off this morning's discussion. But 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You will need to press 1. Again, we want to be a call-in show. We want to get everybody's opinion on anything that we drop it. But to go ahead and get into episode 1, we promoted it as police brutality, man. And so the perspective, one in which I think you and I differ greatly just from following each other and kind of becoming social media friends over the years. And we both keep that truth and speak that truth, so we're gonna obviously keep it 100 with each other. But I wanted to kind of jump into that idea, from the standpoint of this is an ongoing issue that has, in a sense, doesn't go away, pops up from time to time. And I just wanted to, you know, get into your perspective of how you see things when it comes down to policing. And I particularly speak to the word brutality because that's the part that seems to touch our community most often that we are concerned about, and people come with different opinions on it. And so I think we differ on it, but I'm going to go ahead and let you just kind of give me a perspective of how you see things with police and law enforcement in our community, and maybe how we could contend or deal with the issues that we've had in our community. I want to hear your perspective on it, and of course I'll give you mine. Go ahead, King.
Man, you know, it's so many different angles and perspectives on why is it happening. You know, what should be done about it. You know what I'm saying? We know the origins of the police. You know what I'm saying? The original purpose was to catch runaway Africans, you know what I'm saying, that was, you know, escaping slavery. You know what I'm saying? So we gotta deal with the foundation of that. You know what I'm saying? The very foundation of the police in the United States is racist. You know what I'm saying? I think we have to come to the realization that it's not going to stop happening, because if you think that's going to happen, then you have to say that we're going to change their mind or make them come up to some type of moral standard or stop racism. So I think the goal when encountering and interacting with law enforcement, the goal is to be safe and get home. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of focus should be on education, on what to do when encountering law enforcement. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the first step.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. I think you bring up an amazing point when you get to that foundation, because quite often there are still people, as much as we are in the information age, there are still people who are unaware of policing, specifically in America. I've seen people even try to look into policing, you know, across the waters in Great Britain. There is some difference there. But in this country in particular, you have laid it, I think, I can tell you have laid it out correctly on the origins of, and to be specific, for anybody that is even doubting the information or have done, look up the history, I want to be specific and pinpoint that what Charles Garvey is speaking about on that history is in particularly the ramp up of policing, because you can see the historical policing that was pretty much around in advance of even not being focused on catching, for example, enslaved Africans. But that type of policing, which some people will rely on, was basically the police, you know, they didn't have much to do. They just kind of hung around and, you know, kind of went after the riffraff. So policing that we know today has the origins that you speak of. But, you know, again,
well,
I'd like to get that
definitely
nuance.
It's been an evolution, you know, a de-evolution, you know what I'm saying? Like, after you know, every city and town incorporated a local police force after the slave patrols, the initial purpose was to protect the rich from the poor. You know what I'm saying? And also being able to be above the law and enforce your racism on African American people. You feel what I'm saying? Then when the drugs hit in different phases in the country, you know what I'm saying? I think the law enforcement when it became monetized and policing, it morphed into something else, you know what I'm saying, to feed the prison industrial system with our bodies.
No, that's,
you know,
very
what I'm saying?
Fair.
So,
yeah, very fair.
So, yeah, man. It,
no,
it
no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, it definitely evolves and changes, but the racism and the hatred and the ability to move and do what you want to do, being protected by this blue wall and this badge, is still the source and primary driving force that you know that we have to deal with and we have to encounter. I think one thing with us, man, is that we need to train our children on what to do first and foremost. I mean, actually, you know, put them behind the wheel of a car, pull up behind them, pull a gun in their face, or play like you're a police officer, and, you know, train them on what to do. Because a lot of times, like we said, we can educate, but it's different when you got a fucking gun in your face or you looking in the eyes of a person that knows that, you know, they want to kill you. All the education go out the window, man. So it's literally life or death training. Because you never know what this person is on. You never know what they day going through. You don't know what your day been going through. You don't know if they done got their orders. But we'll go into that a little later as far as them getting their orders. But, yeah, man, it's a life or death situation.
But I like what you're talking about, what their day is like. So when I sit back and watch our community react to these different scenarios that unfortunately keep happening, and we go into these situations where we're mourning or we're angry, or, you know, unfortunately we're on the, what is this, this is the anniversary of Sandra Blum, you know, losing her, which obviously ended up being, you know, in a sense she lost her life later, but again, falls right under this cycle. And so we have this, basically this cyclical issue that I think what you're saying is based on the basis, based on the foundation, then I think I hear you saying, then if we were to come to the realization that that is not going to stop based on the foundation, then it will require different action. Because I think what I do know about you, I think that you basically are saying to continue to think that it can get better without realizing that foundation is how we make a mistake and we end up angry. Now, one thing I'll say in watching you, Garvey, is the idea of when you are the angriest, and why wouldn't we be angry, right? Anytime that we've lost a life at the hands of policing, that is a very natural reaction. It's been happening, like you say, pretty much since the beginning. And so in being angry, I look at your perspective, and I always want to ask you, even in setting up this proper training, is it your perspective that, in a sense, we should be antagonistic, in a sense, to police officers, or that's how we should see them? That's a question I kind of have from you, again, just from watching you and knowing you've had real-life experiences. I don't know if you want to speak to those, but I know you've had your own real-life experiences that might allude to why I think I see it that way when I watch. Go ahead.
I wouldn't be mad either way.
Okay.
I wouldn't be mad either. I'm not mad at the person who does everything they can to get out the situation, who's not emotional, who doesn't antagonize the police. I'm not mad at the person who does. I feel like, you know, I understand both perspectives. I feel like the person who's just like, fuck it, I'm ready, they're angry, I understand. It's understandable. It's justifiable, you know. So I don't when things happen and I see videos and people talking shit to the police and talking crazy to them, I don't get mad at them. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they made their mind up that day. I don't know. Maybe they're ready for whatever comes, you know? So, you know, I don't judge either way. But I understand a person who not ready at that time, who want to get home to their family, who might take some shit, who might get talked crazy to and still, you know what I'm saying? You know, just, you know, trying to get home and make it, man, be peaceful and live. I dig that.
Nah, fair enough. And let me say this too, if you don't know this about me, what I do reserve is the judgment as well. Because how can you not be black in America and not understand those moments sometimes? Now, there are definitely times where it seems like, wow, that seems to be over the top. You know, I could say that, you know, so maybe I do sometimes serve, you know, will render that judgment. For the individual, because here's the real life thing that I think you might agree with, and this is partly, I'm assuming, why you say you understand it the other both ways, is quite often we are not allowed to be human, you know, in a sense, often, unfortunately, due to our black skin. There are plenty of times where, you know, we always say, well, look at how, you know, other races get to act with the cops or whatever. Now, when people are saying it, in my opinion, and they're naive to the fact that that's not the America we live in, I struggle with people, in a sense, trying to make the comparison to suggest we should be able to do it too.
Well, we place unrealistic expectations on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We place unrealistic expectations on ourselves, and it's like we have to navigate with perfection. Sit up. Have your hands right. Do this. Do that. Dress like this. Don't do this. All this shit is going through your head. At the same time, you know that this could go. It could go down any second, man. That shit is totally unfair. It's just so I don't trip with somebody, man. I can't do this. There's too much pressure.
Yeah, like you said, they decided they can't do it. Yep. And that, check it out. That I can understand. Now, what I would offer is, let me see what you think of this. And like you said, if somebody breaks, it is what it is. And again, it's the idea of whether you would judge it or not, you know, not judge it. You're saying clearly you would not judge it. I would say, even with that, unfortunately, the unfortunate reality of how we're still policed, the only thing that we can teach, and as you said, to go all the way down to getting pulled up, putting a gun, you know what I mean, to actually go that far, I do agree we should go that far. I think that we still must teach it almost the unrealistic way. Here's a problem I quite often run into, maybe not with yourself, but I want to hear your thoughts on this. But I run into people who will say, well, when I, for example, often say acquiesce in that moment. You know what I mean? Get home safe, what you said, you understand. I know sometimes, though, when I share that with some people online, they retort to the extreme situation in which sometimes you still will be killed. And I'll say to them, I know that to be true. If you get run into an officer who so happens, and I will say most officers, in my opinion, don't have death wishes when they're on the job. But if you so happen to run into the officer that has a death wish that day, then you're right. There's nothing that you could have done. But the reason I'm giving you this advice is because more times than not, you're not going to catch that officer that has a death wish, but you may catch that officer on a bad day that had you acquiesced, that would have been a saving moment. It would have gotten you home versus this antagonistic. Here it is. When I say antagonistic, I'm not saying that we should. What I'm talking about is to when the long-term stay here, survive. We know this foundation exists, if that makes sense to you. But I'll let you jump in, you know, kind of tell me your perspective
you
on
know,
that. I think we teach it one way.
I think it just depends on how you see it. I think it depends on how you see yourself in society, man. Like, some black people feel like, hey, if I get pulled over and you say I was speeding and I know I wasn't speeding, I'm going to say I wasn't fucking speeding. You know what I'm saying? And they feel like they can make their argument. You know what I'm saying? So that means you are saying that you have the same equal rights and the same you're going to get treated the same way a white person would if they made their argument with a speeding ticket. You know what I'm saying? And you can go there with it. But just, you know, it could go left. So, man, it just depends on how you see yourself in society and how far you want to go that day. You know, I ain't mad at nobody, man. For whatever reason they want to do it or how they want to do it, I'm with it, man, because I just and you made the comment that you feel like most officers don't have a death wish. I don't know that, man. You know, we know that they've done studies and they let us know that the law enforcement and the police is filled with white supremacists. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know who and was what. I don't know.
So let me ask you about that, because yeah, we definitely definitely agree with the concept that we know that even white supremacist groups try to infiltrate police departments, and they have done so. The study, you know, they keep getting discovered, you know, from time, you know, definitely from over. So that part is in existence. However, I have always said this, and I'm not saying I'm correct, but I'll just give you this perspective and hear your thoughts on it. See, I've always thought it was a mistake, personally, for us as a society to look at the police as something other than society. I feel like police, in my opinion, they literally just come from society. So whatever level of white supremacy exists within society, I would offer probably mirrors within the police department, maybe slightly higher just because of the tendency to get into the field. But that's a personal opinion. And so what I've always said to for those who have this sentiment of, you know, we could get, you know, for those who do believe in this concept of getting them to think different or putting this focus on the police, I've always said that whatever level of racism you can't fix in society, that's exactly the level of racism that you're going to see within police departments. Any thoughts on that correlation, that sometimes you
think
the police are different, and I'm saying they're no different than society, in my opinion?
I think it's way more intensified because now your racism is protected. I think it's way
intensified
more intensified.
As far as numbers go, or just the fact that they, because of their, what they're allowed to do as officers, I just want to understand what you mean by that.
Well,
I
think all white people are racist, but I don't think that all white people have a death wish. But I think that once white people or non-black people become police officers, I think their racism intensifies because they're protected. So whatever notions they had about black people, they can play it out. You know what I'm saying? And not be held accountable for it. And that's dangerous to me, you know. So that's how I see that. I think it is a microcosm of society, but I think it's way more intensified because you have a gun and a badge, and you already got dealing with a crazy group of insane people that don't get drug tested.
Hey, anybody want to get in? No, my bad. Anybody want to get in? The number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that number is 646-787-1691. Please press 1 to get in on this conversation. So let me turn that to African-American officers being on the police force. Let me say this before you jump in. I will say that due to systemic issues, I've definitely seen plenty of officers get on police forces and act, you know, it's almost like Ice Cube said on that one song, you know, black cop showing out for the white cop. You know what I mean? So we definitely see African Americans who have taken on that. I've ran into incidents where I feel like that's how cops have done it. But I also feel like in my lifetime, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've definitely had some brothers in a sense who are on the police force or the law enforcement to where they were very beneficial to their communities because they did not see everyone the way that a lot of cops see others. So how do you feel about, you know, blacks getting into law enforcement? What's your perspective on that? Because I think it can be helpful, in my opinion.
It can be helpful. I'm not a fan of black police officers. You know, I'm sure everybody knows I'm not a big fan of them, but I feel like it should be black police officers policing black neighborhoods. For the one simple fact, I feel like they would be less hesitant to kill somebody that looked like them. So your probability of living increases when you encounter a black police officer. And I just don't believe they have enough power to do anything further than that, or it would have been done by now. Like, what's the hold up?
And so,
obviously, something is holding them up to where they're not stepping up and causing a mass uproar with the racism that they see and encounter themselves on the job.
Right. And so what I would say, just to throw this out, I would say the level that you talked about, that you know, you said to that level, but they can't counter, you know, the bigger issue. I'm saying based on the number of police killings and brutalities that, you know, things that we see, I'm offering that that's enough alone. When you start digging into the actual numbers of those who have unfortunately been, you know, killed by cops, you know, when people always try to compare the numbers to regular killings and things of that nature, you know, but for example, in 2017, you got 435 police killings across the country, unfortunately, right? And so, you know, just using that one number. And so based on, you know, to a certain extent, it gets, you know, obviously things get highlighted in the media, but if you were to, you know, compare it to, in a sense, how many murders are across the country, that ends up being some relatively a small number. And so me personally, I like that hesitation that you speak of based on your reasoning for why a black may not do it, then that alone cuts down on this ultimate. Go ahead. I think that alone cuts down on this ultimate issue that we seem to be concerned about. There's bigger issues than just the killings, but since those numbers are somewhat small countrywide, then I want to make a difference just by having the black officers in that position, just throwing it out and see what your thoughts on that.
So with that being said, then if you have a young brother, a young sister who's interested in becoming a law enforcement officer, then it needs to be understood with them what type of expectations they should have going in, because you get a lot of people saying, well, we need more of this, we need more of that. And they don't even know why we need them more. Like, needing more is not, like, they think they're going to change white people. They shouldn't go in where they're going to change the system. They shouldn't go in thinking that. And I think that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Because they can't go in there and change. It's just like, it's just the problem. It's the problem with the black politicians thinking, you know, they go in with a good heart. They go in with a good agenda. I want to help my people. I want to be the change. But when they get in there and they see that this system is running how it's supposed to run and they can't change shit, I think they become impotent in their efforts to make that change, man. So we got it. They got it. They can't go in there with a false expectation on changing shit.
Just see, and I love that. Just hope. And now, yep.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, finish up. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Go ahead.
No, I love what you're saying now, because for me, in advocating for more black officers, I've always meant the very thing you just said. You understand what I'm saying? I've always meant it from that perspective, because what I would say, just as we just mentioned earlier, how white supremacists, I'm talking about organizations that are known, you know, through the FBI even counts for, right? We know that some of those, they try to infiltrate police departments. Well, I'm saying us sending our children in with the perspective you just talked about, we should be infiltrating specifically in the neighborhoods in which we are the majority. I do want more black cops. With the thing what you just said, and I'm throwing out there that the only way to encourage that is, in my opinion, to cut down on the antagonistic relationship in order to encourage us to have more cops, because I think we need them for the very reasons that we just talked about. So keep in mind, I am consistently saying what you just said. Send them in with the correct mindset. What currently happens is, well, because we have such an antagonistic, it's kind of like, you know, a pick about the idea that you're kind of like the nerdy kid goes into police officers and reenacts it out as a, you know, with some type of level of authority now, right? And so what I'm saying is, while you may have, like you suggested earlier, some black people becoming law enforcement with good intentions and then, like you said, becoming impotent, I'm just saying I think we're more at risk of having what you're currently saying, because of, now I'm saying, the overall perspective our community has. When I say don't be antagonistic, I'm talking about strategically wise, not just simply, I'm saying love. Go ahead. Yeah, please jump in.
And I don't want the people to get it twisted. More black officers is not a cure. It's definitely treating a symptom. You know what I'm saying? It's not a cure-all. You know what I'm saying? It's just a bigger Band-Aid to help stop the bleeding. You know what I'm saying? Because if we want real change, we know it has to be some major shit taking place. You know what I'm saying? But the more black cop scenario is just, it increases our probability of living. That's it, in my opinion.
That's fair. Let's talk about that deeper. Look, I'm sorry, I'm bad.
Go ahead.
So let me ask you
this.
Here's the perspective, because that major change. Yeah, definitely. So here's the beside that, in my opinion. So, and this is an example. This is Ferguson, for, you know, obviously what a big uproar happened with, you know, Mike Brown. You know, rest in peace, Mike Brown. And so I've always wanted, in suggesting more black cops, I want to add more context. I think you're hitting the head on the nail with the idea of, you know, it can't be that, simply that. So when I'm saying more black cops, I'm talking about from the standpoint that in our neighborhoods where we are already aggregated, the Atlanta, the Detroits, you know, so any communities where, you know, we're 30-40% of the, you know, of the city or whatever, for the more, or more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in those type of cities, I am talking about actually controlling the police department from the standpoint, which now involves the politics of it. You know what I mean? When you get in choosing the head of the department, who now understands what the community is asking for. So what I'm saying, changing the relationship and encouraging more of our kids to go into it, I'm specifically saying it in the communities where we're aggregated, because I do have, not just me alone, but I've heard the suggestion where, for the most part, you know, we live as African Americans, we live throughout the South, or we're aggregated in cities up north, right? And so I say that to say that in the communities in which we are the majority, if we were to change our perspective of what more policing looks like, what community policing is, what I call this, what it looks like, mm-hmm. it would require more involvement in the political aspect. So we are picking who's running the departments, and I think we have to do that in the communities where we have the majority of numbers. I don't think we take a good enough perspective to try to control it that way, in my opinion. Any thoughts on being that's okay? I think that's saying more than just more cops. That's not all I'm saying here. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't live in a city with that, with them type of numbers, man.
Okay.
So I think people who live in cities like Detroit, Baltimore, St. Louis, Memphis, you know what I'm saying, where the majority of the population is black, I think they would be more capable of explaining their situation to us and how does that work, how's it going, what's the difference, you know what I'm saying? But I know when we're not the majority, it's ugly. And the black cops are they fall in line, man. They fall in line. But one thing I was talking to this one brother about, man, and which I'm willing to do is set up an educational forum with a somewhat trusted black law enforcement, gather the youth and have him teach what to do when encountering the police.
I think that's an amazing idea.
I think that's a good idea. And I say somewhat, you know, we would have to see who's who and what's what, but I think it's worth giving it a shot. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, here in Fort Worth, man, we recently had a young brother, man, ran down, hunted by the police and murdered, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of questions came, well, he should have did this, he shouldn't have did that. So, and a lot of these youth, man, they terrified, man, you know what I'm saying? So they need to know what to do and what not to do, man, in order to live. So I'm willing to do that with the right person involved or right persons involved.
Absolutely, and that's like, I mean, just to even share this with you, I've done that very thing on a small scale, so not something consistent, like what mm-hmm. you're talking about, I think could be something that would be, is worth, like you said, not only is it worth trying, but it sounds like it's something that if we have some success with it, that other cities mm-hmm. could take advantage of it and do it to the degree that you're talking about. I've just done it on a small scale in the Minnesota Law Community Club, for example, where we had the Know Your Rights segment where we have the lawyer and we also have the police officer talking about the very moments that you're talking about. And as you already mentioned, you know, again, that's not the same as having the gun pulled on you, right? And so obviously when you're mm-hmm. saying get involved with the actual law enforcement officer, I know you mean it to the extent that it's played out that far. Because like you said, it has to be, because I can tell you, man, having put together the Know Your Rights seminar, right, having done it specifically in a barbershop a number of years ago, I promise you 80% of what I learned that day when I got falsely arrested was out the door. The one thing that did save me has always been my mindset of acquiesce. Because, again, anybody hearing that, I'm not saying it's 100%, but I'm definitely not going to lose my life to the officer that's having a bad day. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Right.
Yes, I'm not saying I just immediately did everything the officer said, but at the moment I realized that this officer is going to take it this far, even though I'm innocent as all get out, then
see,
I'm going to acquiesce not to create an antagonist. Go ahead.
My perspective is a little different. I ain't going to really go into detail because it's some real personal mm-hmm. shit, you know, but I definitely wouldn't advocate nobody, you know what I'm saying, taking a route that I might take anytime I get pulled over in the future. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Fair enough. I'll add to this, and again, this is just us chopping it up, talking about, you know, how to deal mm-hmm. with this situation that our community feels like exists. Anybody out there want to jump in, please, 646-787-1691. You have to press one. I hope that 2 minute start didn't mess everybody up, like we wasn't on the air, because I definitely typically will see some callers out there. If you're online, you have to dial 646-787-1691. Press one to let us know you want to speak. So what I'll say is, just to throw this out, I want to hear your thoughts on this. Respect how you move, King. Like you said, you'll leave it at that, so we won't go into that. What do you think about this concept? I don't know here's one thing I would like to add, again, because this is my perspective on how to get home, because I definitely take the get home perspective. That's my perspective. Put it out there loud and clear. What I would like to add is one thing that I think that parents, you know, in addition to having to have the talk, you know what I mean? Obviously, we're, you know, for those who try to act like there isn't racism, you know what I mean? The fact that we have to have the talk, and, you know, some black parents go as far as not to have the talk. Silly to me, but some don't, right? But for those that do have the talk, the one thing that, a concept that I don't think we go over enough is the concept of how it is okay to be arrested. And what I mean by that is some of the antagonism is attempting to hold court. You know, even when you do know your rights, right, attempting to hold court with an officer of the law who doesn't always know the law, if that makes sense. And so now we create a situation because we do know your rights and because they're more about, quite often, authority and respect. And so at the moment that you are a know-it-all, right, now you gotten yourself into a situation that escalates because that officer can't take it, if that makes sense. I've definitely seen that happen too often, and I'm thinking even if they're about to arrest you falsely, which is what happened to me,
right?
That ain't the time.
Wait for your day in court.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that. You know, man, we only fight and go into action on what we've learned and what we schooled to do, man. So, you know, I ain't mad at either perspective, man. If you feel like you in the wrong, then you can't be scared to go to – I mean, if you feel like you're in the right, you can't be scared to go to jail. A lot of cats be scared to go to jail, man, you know, and they just don't want to go, you know. I don't know. They might – a lot of times, the young cats, not even in their car, they ain't their mama car, they ain't their daddy car. They don't want to go to jail. They don't want their parents to be mad at them. You know what I'm saying? It'd be all types of different scenarios, man. You never know what a person going through at that time. You never know if that person just got out of jail and like, fuck it, I'm not going back, you know. It's crazy, man.
That's a reality for the individual.
It's a hell of a riddle.
A very real one for our community. I'm thinking of, in a sense, what messaging do we put out to the group, even though I do agree with you that that individual, you just never know. But to the group, what do we put out there? We actually got a caller. Let's get to the caller. Area code 512, last 3979. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and get in on this Trill Spill Radio this morning. Thanks for being our first caller on our first episode.
Good
we
evening,
had a rough
brother.
Start, so glad to get you in.
All right, then. All right, D Black out of ATX. What's happening, y'all?
What's up, D Black, my boy?
Man, I just been sitting back enjoying this dialogue, man. First of all,
welcome to Trill Spill, man, and enjoy this sauce, brother.
Oh, man, it's everywhere, man. It's 30-way gravy around here, man. Say, man, I'd like to commend both of y'all on just being so thorough and so level-minded on such sensitive a topic, man. Usually you would get two brothers with such diverse views as y'all just arguing and stepping over each other, and thank y'all for the royalty I'm witnessing right here, man. And I would have called in earlier, but every time I get ready to say something, one of y'all take my words, so I just been riding it out. Thank y'all, man. Wow.
That's a good thing, man. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, y'all covering all the bases, man, and it's beautiful, man. And only other thing I would like to add, if, you know, a few crumbs to it is, man, like you were saying, brother, we got to educate our youth, man, and prepare them for that situation because, you know, once they set it off and put that pistol in my face, what is the fucking procedure? Hold up, you know,
no,
This Trill Spill, brother. I
advocate. Oh, well, I can get it to you then. Okay, well, any damn way. I got a problem with the youngsters that wasn't taught before they was brought. Then they get out there, and when a police officer give them the attention that they were talking that shit about, now you don't know what the fuck to do. Now you now you the one that fuck around. Now you half ass resisting and you fuck around and get popped in the ass because now you thought it was all a game. You did.
Right.
That's the part I'm talking about. Now, like my brother Saul say, sometimes you know there's individuals that done been through some shit, and he's ready to take his stand. But most cats that jump out there instigating people that y'all know corrupt, and you talking shit, and you relying on them to respect that crooked ass law system that they running with. Come on, man. You playing with your life. That's what I'm talking about. I ain't seen I put a post that two people got shot right on 6th Street. Y'all know Austin is a party city. Everybody down right there. In the middle of the crowd, shots get fired. You know, everybody scattering like roaches. It's two people bleeding out on the middle of the concrete. Now everybody pulling their phones out, the authority just trying to scoot the crowd back, man. That's all they doing. It ain't like it's somebody that might be innocent is tussling with the laws. No, it's two people bleeding on the ground, and everybody, and all I see is people instigating officers, bitch ass, don't touch my phone, and all that. That part is uncalled for. And that's the part I was talking about. It's a right and a wrong way to monitor police activity. And that was all bullshit right there.
So, Garvey, what's your thoughts? I got some thoughts, but I want to let you jump in. We on trio still. This is yours. How you feel about a lot?
I want to jump in.
Okay.
I got a question for my brother, Black. What's the right way to do it, Black, in your opinion?
The right way to do it, like when they was monitoring the activity and moving the crowd back, okay, take your step back. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you know the law and you know how many feet that you are allotted, then okay, stand on that and give them people their space. Once them people got the crowd back farther enough, they wasn't trying to push the crowd back no farther. But I saw everybody else crossing that line that the people that the police officers created and was still instigating, and you wasn't bringing no help to those people that were sitting out there bleeding, man. If it was one of my family members, I'd have been fucked up with the crowd. When it's your people fucked up, you know what I'm saying? You want the laws taking care of their business. But when the laws come for you, it's a totally different situation and it's a totally different mindset. But each situation is different. All I'm saying is, when it ain't your shit to get in, why step in it? I didn't say don't monitor the shit and make sure they ain't on their game. All I'm saying is don't throw fuel to the fire. Since everybody knows that there's levels of corruption in every color of officer, you know, however you look at it. And I'm on both sides of the shit. I done a 3 and a 7, and I also have family members who are police officers. So I deal with it on a one-time basis because I can replay my tape. And I remember when I instigated some shit and went to jail. And I don't do that type of shit no more because I ain't in my 20s no more. I'm in my 40s now. So I play a different card these days. You dig?
And so let me throw this in real quick. This is where I love this perspective that Ms. King is bringing to the table, right? And so the perspective, in my opinion, is I don't think we can get to the level of respect that would have been required in that moment. You know, obviously giving an example of two people bleeding out, and I agree with him. Kyle should step back. And so in teaching our youth, I think we should include a level of respect, because I think without the level of respect, we end up getting what he saw that day. If that makes sense. And that doesn't preclude when there's an obvious situation where the cops have done wrong that you don't act out. But just to act out in every scenario, I don't think we can stop that without including some level of respect that we teach our youth in having for the authority while teaching them the foundation. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We've all dealt with pit bulls, man. Your neighbor's pit bull. On the leash, on the tree. We walk by the pit bull every day. I'm jumping at him every day, fucking with the pit bull, because I know how long his leash is. the next man come through, don't say nothing to the pit bull. When the pit bull see me coming through, he know it's some bullshit coming through, so I'm indirectly teaching that pit bull how to deal with me, right? That's the same way the public do with police officers, man. When they come to the scene, they indirectly touted that, you know, damn, I'm going into a minority subdivision. I'm expecting some bullshit.
What did you think of that, Sons Glover? Because for me, I don't want to do that for a long term. Yeah, what I'm saying, regardless of why.
I feel that.
Go ahead.
I feel that, man. I understand that. But I just don't want them to. When we say teach our youth a level of respect, I think we need to teach them some understanding, because I feel like they ain't earned our fucking respect. You know what I'm saying? Teach them some understanding on who you're dealing with and what you got to do to make it.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel you. That I didn't say teach them, turn them out there and tell every police officer, yes, sir, no, sir. No, it's a level of respect. They men and women just like us. But I ain't going to send them out there and say disrespect them motherfuckers. Every time one of them motherfuckers come through, point the finger at them, say fuck them and all that. You know, no, I'm not going to teach mine to do it like that. Everybody got to earn their stripes, even a police officer.
I want to make the point. When we teach our children that, make sure we teach them to respect our people first and foremost. It's just the police thing. You see,
damn right.
Yes, sir.
You damn right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So,
and that's the foundation of it all, man. Because, you know, there's a big difference between a father and a daddy. You know what I'm saying? If it's somebody there teaching, it's obvious he care about that tribe or that castle, wherever he at. Because most brothers don't even stay around to teach these days, I'm seeing.
Let me throw this out real quick while we got you, D-Black. I remember a video you did a long time ago, and this is kind of consistent with what I've been saying throughout this show, but I remember this video you did a long time ago, and it's kind of still kind of saying along the same lines of what you're saying today, and it was just the perspective of this as well, is you got a war and you got a battle. And so that moment, you know, whether you're being stopped, and obviously y'all are giving other scenarios now, but in that moment of being stopped, you know, you say, you know, you're now, like you said, at the perspective now where you don't do what you may have done in your 20s because you realize you're not going to let them take you out.
I realize that the law wasn't written for me. You know what I'm saying? Me talking shit to a police officer of any color with a gun is a no-win situation for me. What am I going to do? I'm just talking shit just to be talking shit. Especially if I ain't got a gun. You see too many people getting pulled over on a simple ticket, just going off when you ain't ready to go there. What's the point in that?
And I'm throwing out long term strategy wise. I definitely want to hear your perspective on this, House Garvey, in the sense of long term strategy wise for the benefit of our community specifically. I think this is, in my opinion, a better perspective to teach group-wise while training to the degree, to the level that you're suggesting. Creating a group like you're talking about, I want to include that training from the perspective of this ain't about being scared at all. It's like
it's about being smart.
Back said one time in that video, don't let them take me out that easy, because we got a long-term thing we got to recover to save our community with. And I'm saying this strategy point standpoint, quite often, in my opinion, when people share the perspective I'm sharing, because of our we deserve to be angry based on the history. I'm not acting like we don't deserve, but because of the anger and the antagonistic perspective we have, people hear what I'm suggesting as some level of fear, and I'm thinking, no fear whatsoever, but I'm not going to get taken out that easy. It won't be a police stop. When I'm moving forward for our community and it's necessary, come get me, because that's the kind of movement, that's the kind of way I'm moving. Come get me, but I'm not going to let you take me that easy because I got upset over a ticket. One day, I want to hear Sauce Guard on that with D-Black, and then we'll see if we can get some other people in as well. Go ahead, Sauce Guard.
But before I answer that, I got a question for Black. Do you back the person that's ready to go there?
No, sir. No, I mean, hold on. No, I don't. if a person is ready to take care of his business, man, for whatever reason, and I don't, how do I say that? To each his own, man. You know,
because
everybody
because
walk
the
walk, man. I don't know what reason or what he did or what he went through. You know what I'm saying? Because like it's personal with me, man. It's real personal. I don't knock nobody for taking care of their business, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know that man's situation.
Because
you see it on both sides, man. People get tired. I'm tired of the shit. But at the same time, what I'm going to run out there and get killed for, and I know ain't nobody fucking body got my back right now, versus me continue what I'm doing with this truck shit and jumping into this real estate shit and power up and good Lord bless my game and pull with like forces and come and really take care of some business. Because me just talking shit right now, ain't nobody got my back like that. Me, they could take us three out right now and kill this shit right here. And ain't nobody going to pick up the torch until we power up and come together. And I mean, but we've been trying to do that for so long, and I ain't saying stop, but all I'm saying is don't get killed right now in the process just jumping out there talking shit to them folks while you got a cell phone in your hand and hoes got guns.
I'm not discouraging the person that's ready. I know what you're saying, the people that talk that shit but really ain't ready for the gangster shit to come.
Them the ones I'm talking to. The brothers that's ready,
I'm
not even speaking to them because they ready for a reason.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, no, the shit, man. What's understood ain't got to be spoken about.
Right on. Exactly. Because, you know, so, just like that motherfucking pit bull I was talking about, you keep on fucking with that pit bull, man. Well, whether it be a police officer or be a black man. One of these days, boy. You're going to step over that leash length and your ass in trouble.
Let me throw this out, Garvin. Let me throw this out to that perspective. Any man could do anything they want as long as they're willing to pay the price, right? A lot, you know, we don't really teach that to the next generation correctly, in my opinion. A lot of it has to do with, you know, not having enough men to kind of teach the next generation how to carry it like that, right? And so what I would share with you, let me see what you think of this part of it. And again, not to go, because again, I agree with you. It was already understood and need explaining. You know, D Black taught me that, right? But anyway, with that said, I do want to throw this out and see what your perspective is. See, I'm of the belief that the majority of people that have these frustrations or are stepping out there are more. It's more people in the that group that D Black's talking about, for one. The other thing is, if we were to train to include this level of respect, or again, get homes. Whatever, gets home, or like be black saying, let's continue this so we can continue what we're doing here. Because if one of us gets taken out on a random,
let's say a level of
stop,
smart.
Yeah, let me
black folks
and
make it sound like I'm trying
to
teach motherfuckers to kiss black people, kiss police ass. No, that ain't what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you gotta be live and direct.
I
gotta make sure you understand exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying don't disrespect them. I ain't saying kiss their ass. Make
right,
them earn them yes
easy.
Sirs and no sirs if you want to go that route. But
exactly.
All I'm saying is don't just jump out
break.
There with the, you know, with the down. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And
let
when they got
this out,
the
let me throw this out real quick.
Not,
I just want to add to it. I want to add something to it. When you brought up the pit bull analogy, I feel like we the pit bull.
Yeah, so, that's, and you heard me say it. It's going both ways, right?
Right. Right, mm-hmm. And that's how I go. They the antagonizers. In my
right on,
opinion.
Right on, man.
But
you write about that. It go both motherfucking ways, man.
Yeah, I thought the same thing too, just so you know, believe it or not, I actually thought the very same thing as he was, not right as he was saying it, but as he said it. Here's the one nuance that I want to hear from you, Sauce Garvey, is this. I think that if we were to train, as I think I hear Daryl Black saying, and as I'm suggesting, I think people that are good, that are ready to go there for their whatever right reasons or whatever, you know, again, they're willing to pay that price. I think they're going to exist even with us training all those who are out there doing it bullshitting wise. I think men like that always carry it like that. You feel like I think that comes through regrets. I think
every man
I'm
is one
talking
away
about,
from being ready. I mean, Smitty, something could happen to one of your family members tonight. Something could happen to one of my family members tonight, and I have a different perspective in the morning, man. All I'm saying is I don't want that shit to happen. So I have a reason to be ready. That's all I'm saying. So any one of my family members or nephews or somebody, man, if you ain't ready about that shit, sit your ass down. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Right. I see. And if you ain't ready, sit down. But if you ready, do what you feel like you need to do.
There you go.
There you go.
I don't think you stop that man no matter what, right? I mean, do you agree with me on that? That man or that woman, you don't stop them regardless of what you're teaching the community.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm suggesting this teaching because I don't think it discourages them, because you kind of mentioned it at one point. What we are suggesting, I don't think it discourages the person who's ready to go there regardless, because they're ready to go there and fully accept the consequences. As far as we're saying this, I said the 2 minutes that I almost stopped this show, for example, because you might have got a text from me today. I don't know if I could have had a phone because the sheriff got called on me today, but I didn't go to jail. You feel me? Because I had a situation where those consequences, not specifically with them, but they were on the person I had an issue with, and I was fully prepared to accept all the consequences. So we might not have had a show, because as much as I'm advocating for this, D Black's exactly right. It don't take but a scenario or a situation with your own family member, and that was my situation, that I already accepted any consequence that came with that. I was fortunate enough, in a sense, not to get taken to jail today, but I think I made my point with the person I need to make my point with. Had it went different, I'd have been okay with that too. So again, I think when people are driven to that, that's different from a community standpoint. I don't think we discourage it by teaching what we're talking about, you know, in my opinion. But again, I'm not just advocating because of how I feel. I'm thinking long-term to the things that we talk about in our community we want to build. I'm always worried how we're not going to get there when we have these emotional responses, even though, as you have correctly said, Sauce Garvey, the concept of we have been the bull that's been antagonized, and I'm saying how do we smartly, you know, how about this, get them back. And giving them back in that moment when they're trying to is their win, not our win, in most cases, in my opinion.
I'm with you. I agree, brother. I'm with you. I think going into this subject, I think we felt like we were further apart on the situation, but we pretty much on the same damn page.
Nah, I feel you. D Black, I'm gonna let you go for these last couple minutes, man. But thank you for getting in with us. We always gonna open it up.
Man,
somebody bringing the heat like you bringing it. We'll keep you on the line, man. Thank you for putting perspective
man
on this and taking
it
off.
I just been enjoying
the
ride, man. Y'all take it easy. Good night, man. Let me sip on this stuff over here. Love y'all back,
yes,
man. One.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, love you, King. All right, so what I did prepare, I didn't tell you this. Again, we're a free-flowing show, and I don't know what your time looked like. So I was going, and again, I think we heard ourselves with that initial 2 minutes, but we can obviously we're going to push this trail spill out to people. And it was dope to hear D Black talk about he couldn't jump in because we were covering it and, you know, how we was going back and forth. And that's the beauty of why we're coming together. The beauty of why we're coming together is we are going to show people how to dialogue even when they differ. Because that's how we get sharper.
Right.
And most people cannot do that. So, your thoughts, man. Just so you know, I got a 30-minute bonus if we need it, just so you know, so we're not pressed up against this last minute, just so you know.
Do we have any callers?
Now, no callers are on the line. D Black was the only one today. So, just so you know, so far.
Okay,
let me give a number out just in case somebody wants to get in
right
the
now.
646. Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
I'm in the kitchen right now cooking the order, so I'm good, bro. If we have some callers, then I could go on. But if we ain't got no callers, then I'm good. Until the next time.
Let's do
it,
man.
I had a great fucking time.
Me too, King. Let's do it, man. We're going to keep this thing 100. Appreciate you, and we can talk and, you know, keep improving it.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. Let us
you
know in the feedback. We're going to send it out. Yep, Trill Spill, episode 1. We'll see y'all till next time.
Black
Apple
Power.
Absolutely. We out.